Check one, two. All right, we're on. Feel the music this morning. That's good. That's good. So the reason why I played that song, and just for levity more than anything, but I really felt that I was to bring you a word of encouragement to the body and also spur you on with where we're at in our assembly and with where God wants to take us. And so before I even begin my message, again, the reason we sort of, I began with that is just because there's four things that I think are very important for us to realize, and I'm not making this up. I've said this already before. Others have preached this from the pulpit, but it's an important reminder to us when there's transition, when there's change, we can have a lot of emotions, and that's okay. But I just want to encourage us at the get-go today. So four things right off the bat. When we're in change, when we're in transition, I would say to you, try and resist the urge to panic and resist the urge to give way to anxiety, because God isn't surprised by the situation. Do you get that? God is not surprised by our situation. In fact, it is His design for us as a church, for our good and for His glory. Okay, so just let that sink in. These four things are really foundational, I believe, for the next season at TPA, and especially for this transitional season. So God's not surprised. It's His design. It's for our good, and it's for His glory. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the church is His. Amen? Are you with me this morning? The church is His. He is the senior pastor, and He will continue to build His church. That's a promise in the Bible. So you can be assured of these things this morning. So the church is His. He's a senior pastor. He will continue to build His church. We can be confident of that. Number three, God already knows who is going to be the next lead servant here, His under shepherd, and is already preparing him for it. Okay? Let that sink in. God's got this. He already knows the person. He's already preparing their heart, even though the search process hasn't even begun yet. Okay? And the fourth thing that I want to bring to you, and this is the lead into my message, is that we have a very important part to play in this transition. Because I believe that God is calling this church in this season of transition, knowing all those things I just talked about, that God's not surprised. We don't need to panic. He's got this. The church is His. He'll continue to build it. He knows who the next person is going to be. Knowing all that, we have an important part to play. I believe we're called to seek the Lord in prayer and in fasting. And so that's what I want to speak to you about for just a few minutes this morning. And so let that be the foundation. Let those things sort of percolate in your heart, in your spirit, those foundational things. Because I know there's a lot of feeling. And you know what? Your feelings aren't wrong. It's not wrong to feel sad because Marcy and Lowell are leaving. It's not wrong to feel any of those things. Let yourself feel those things. But when we get above that, let these three things be foundational. That God's in control. It's His church. He's driving the bus. He's not surprised. And we have an important part to play. Let's pray this morning. God, I want to be faithful to You. I want to be faithful to Your word this morning. And I want to be faithful to Your spirit, Lord, to be faithful to the word that You've laid upon my heart for this assembly. And I just pray, God, that You would just use it for Your glory and for our good. God, I pray that anything that is going to be distracting or whatever that I maybe have planned to say or whatever would not be said or fall away, and that Your word would clearly speak forth in this season for TPA. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we covered the four things that are foundational. Now I got two more things before I jump into the message. It's a big intro this morning. So in the time of transition that TPA finds itself in this current season of transition and change, there's two more important things that I want, that I think are important as we move forward. The first of which, I believe we're in a season, Pastor Lowell is not on staff for very much longer. And so we're in a season now where we need to, and I know we're going to do this officially in a few ways, but we need to honor the faithfulness and the fruitfulness of Pastor Lowell and Marcy's ministry for these number of years. So whatever that means for you, please do not let Pastor Lowell leave. Let Marcy leave, although they're going to be here for a bit before they actually leave, but don't let them go from this place without expressing your appreciation to them for their faithfulness, for their steadfastness, for their ministry, okay? So again, whatever that means for you, let the Holy Spirit guide you in that. Use your gifts as a church, individually and corporately, to lead and guide you in that. But just don't leave things, good things unsaid, okay? As they make their way. This is hard for them too. And so if we can be an encouragement to them as they transition, I think that will be good. So honor them for their faithfulness and fruitfulness, because it's been a there's been hard times at TPA over the ministry, but it has been incredibly fruitful. God has been glorified, and they need to know that. The second thing as we move in transition, and this has to do with what my message is about, is just that we need to be seeking God for what he has in store for us. And one of the main ways we can do that is fasting and prayer. And so that's why we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Some biblical examples of fasting. And we'll get into what fasting is in a minute. I think most of you know, but I'm going to unpack it in a minute. But we're going to start with some biblical examples of what fasting looked like in the particular situation. So Moses fasted for 40 days before receiving the commandments. I believe he also fasted again 40 days once he came down the mountain and discovered that the Israelites were having a parade around a golden calf, broke the tablets, and he basically fasted for another 40 days and went up and got the tablets again. So that's a lot of fasting for Moses in his journey. Esther fasted along with God's people for their salvation at the hands of Haman and the situation that they were in the book of Esther. David fasted while mourning his child's illness after his sin with Bathsheba. Elijah fasted while in danger from Jezebel. I believe that was right after his huge victory at Mount Carmel, and he's being chased once again by this by Jezebel. Ezra fasted while mourning for sin. So again, prophet of God, knows the law, knows how far the people are from it, and so he's fasting over mourning of sin. Daniel fasted for an answer to prayer. He was given the gift of being able to interpret visions and often fasted to ask God, what does this mean and how can I be of service for your glory in this situation? Of course, Jesus fasted before his public ministry began and in the days leading up to the fact that the devil tempted him in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. The Apostle Paul fasted after his conversion and before he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the church elders fasted before sending out missionaries at Antioch. If you remember in the book of Acts, chapter 13, Christians are first called Christians at Antioch. They gather as a church. They want to continue the gospel going forward, and so they gather. And before they do that, they pray, they fast. Who should we send out? Who should we commission? They end up with guys like Paul and Barnabas and a bunch of other people. But they took that very seriously as they prayed and fasting. So you can see in these very situations that fasting is applicable in a lot of different circumstances. But one thing that these things sort of have in common is that most of these aren't necessarily good things, except for in this list, you know, Saul's conversion, Jesus' ministry, getting ready for those. But sometimes we fast because we're desperate for God. And so whatever the situation may be, and in these situations, a lot of times that's the case. The fasting is because we're desperate for God's direction and for Him to move in our lives. So let's just take a moment and back up just a bit and talk about what fasting is. I'm kind of assuming that most of us sort of know, but I also want to unpack that a little bit. What does it mean to fast and to pray in this way? Because like I said, I believe that God is leading us into a season where personally and corporately, this is going to be an important thing for us for the coming months. So what is fasting? This is my definition, then we'll go to some people that are much wiser than I. My definition is giving up something we hold dear for the purpose of prayer and declaring our desperation for God in every aspect of our lives in order to become more kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, and kingdom-fruitful. And so you see that I think we know that fasting is giving up something, but it's in that part at the end. Again, this is my definition, but I think it's important because fasting has a way of making us aware of what's going on around us in terms of spiritual things and in terms of what's going on with the kingdom, which is the real priority of Jesus. Makes us more kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, and kingdom-fruitful. Richard Foster says that fasting, in his book Celebration of Discipline, I would recommend two books to you if you want to research fasting and prayer a bit more. The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster is a classic when it comes to spiritual disciplines. He does talk about fasting in there, solitude, and some other spiritual disciplines as well. So I'd recommend that to you. Also, A Hunger for God by John Piper, another good resource when it comes to this subject of fasting and prayer. And so I've sort of borrowed from some of those guys as resources, and I commend those resources to you as well. Richard Foster, in his Celebration Discipline, his definition of fasting is as follows. Fasting is the voluntary denial of an otherwise normal function for the sake of intense spiritual activity. He goes on to say, the primary purpose of fasting is worship. It must forever center on God. It should be God-initiated and God-ordained. Fasting puts us in a place where God can change us and reveal to us the things that are controlling us. He also says that the central idea in fasting is the voluntary denial of an otherwise normal... Oh, I already said that, sorry. That's the definition. So it reveals things that control us. Fasting reminds us, and this is important, I think, very important for us as we move into fasting. Fasting reveals the things that control us. He alluded to that. Fasting reminds us that we are sustained by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Scripture is an intensely important part of fasting. Fasting, he says, helps us keep balance in our life. So there's basically three, and he talks about this in his book a little bit, there's basically three types of fasts. There's a normal fast, which is basically abstaining from all food, solid or liquid, but not from water. That's basically the classic fast. Another type of fast is a partial fast, which is kind of like you decide to give up something, a restriction in your diet, but not total abstention. And then the third one is not something I would necessarily recommend. But if God calls you to it and you're 100% sure about that, you need to be. But it is an absolute fast, which is a total abstention from food and water. I talked about Moses earlier. The book of Deuteronomy says clearly this is what he did. He fasted. When he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat or drink anything. So in reality, you know right away that, okay, for that to happen, God needs to move, which is why I do not really commend that to you unless you're 100% sure that God would lead you in that direction, because if you're not, you could be meeting him sooner than you think. Moses was sure about it, and so he did it, and so it's in the Bible. There is place for it, I guess, if the circumstances are dire enough. But those are the three main types of fasts. So, of course, there are many fasts and different types of things that we can abstain from for the purpose of prayer. And my belief here is that we're not to be legalistic about what that is that we're to give up. However, the type of fast that I'm going to mostly address today is the that of the normal fast, is that of fasting from food. The reason that is you can fast from a lot of different things. You can fast from, it's pretty common nowadays, since our world is kind of, our culture is so cluttered and that sort of thing, it's pretty common to fast from things like media or television or different things, maybe Facebook, social media, fast from the internet, fast from different things like that to focus on God and focus on prayer. And those aren't wrong. So that's what I'm saying up front. Those aren't wrong. Those are good too. But I believe the normal fast, there's something about that that God ordained just simply because of the way that our body is designed to need food and to sustain our lives, and how we crave and savor the tastes of food that makes this type of fast, I believe, more meaningful and fruitful for Christians. So there's a place for fasting all things. Like, God might call you to give up your Netflix or whatever. God might call you to give up TV for the summer. God might call you to a number of things that sort of declutter your life so you can focus on him. And those are good. But I would commend to you today the normal fast. It is by far the most difficult, next to, of course, the absolute fast, because of the way our body's made. I can tell you from experience. I have some experience with fasting, not a ton, but you know, as you go days without food, those of you who have fasted before, you know, there's sort of ups and downs, and you kind of, you know, as you go forward and you're only drinking water and fasting from food, you know, you go a day maybe or whatever, and you're like, okay, I'm pretty hungry now. By the time you get to about day three or so, you're hungry, but it's almost like it's starting to diminish already because your body's starting to adjust. And then as you move forward from there, you know, it kind of goes up and down again. You have moments where you really just want to taste something because you haven't tasted anything in a few days maybe. Or, you know, once you get to about a week, then, you know, you basically should be kind of introducing yourself back into like soup or something so that you're careful medically with that. But I do believe there's something with food, because God designed our bodies like that. Obviously, we all consume food. If you look in our culture, one thing you'll notice how wrapped up our culture is in food when you fast, because you'll have to say no to a lot of things. You'll be out and, you know, people will be serving food. You'll be over watching the Canucks lose game six and people will be serving wings and you'll be like, you know what, I can't do that. I can't go there because I'm fasting or whatever. Or, you know, you just quiet, politely decline, that sort of thing. But you definitely noticed how ingrained it is in our culture, like food's everywhere. And so again, it's a tough thing to do. Fasting is a tough thing to do, but some of the, richest times that I've had in my life, I can tell you, were on the, you know, whatever the farthest I kind of went to, whatever, I think is a week fast roughly or something like that. Whatever the farthest I went to, that point, like, I just felt closer to God. I felt like, you know, I was more spiritually aware. And so we're gonna talk about some of those things and how that sort of works itself out and why these things are important in our lives. John Piper in A Hunger for God, again, that was one of the resources I commended to you, says this: if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you've nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. So again, fasting has a way of clarifying things. When are, you know, because I think what he's saying here, in a way, is we have a tendency in our culture just to kind of watch primetime TV or whatever. And not that that's the devil or anything, not that that's necessarily evil or bad, but we have a tendency just to kind of stuff our soul with all these things we don't even realize. And at the end of the day, we're basically tuning out God is what we're doing. We're not listening to him. We're not taking time for the spiritual disciplines of reading scripture and prayer. And we're basically not leaving a room for what's really important, which is all those things. So there's a few things that I believe that happen when we fast. These are based on my experience and just from a biblical perspective of fasting. So there's a few things that happen that are important when we fast. We have more time for prayer, solitude, and scripture saturation. I think one of the reasons why some of the most intense spiritual times in my life were on a fast is because of this thing of scripture saturation. Because what happens when you're fasting, like I said, you become more spiritually aware, you take more time for prayer, more time for solitude, more time in the Word, but things just seem more illuminated to you as you read the Word. Lord will make it more alive to you as you, especially if you're like memorizing a chunk of scripture as you're fasting, you've been on it fast for a few days. And please understand me, this isn't about making me look good or any of us look good because we're fasting. This is about doing what God has called us to do so that we can be closer to him. Because we are, when it comes down to, we should be at least a people that are desperate for our God. And if you don't feel that, I think that's part of what Piper's saying here too. If you don't feel that in your heart, if you don't feel a desire for God that is huge, if you don't feel that, it's probably time to hit a fast. Because a fast, especially from food, declares, God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for you. And so that's important. Another thing that happens on fast is we become increasingly more aware of what God is speaking to us. Because we're stopping to listen. We are being intentional to tune out other distractions. And so I've talked about this already, but like our culture is so cluttered. If we're on autopilot in our culture today, basically, you know, we're doing TV, I know some of you don't do that stuff too much, but most of us are doing all those things. We're doing TV, you're doing Facebook, doing all this media stuff, going about our lives. And that just doesn't leave much room for God to actually speak to us. It's not that he can't, he is, but a lot of times we're just not listening. And so fasting helps us weed out some of those distractions so that we can actually listen to God. Because of this, and this is why fasting is important, because of this, tuning out distractions, we'll be better equipped to discern the will of the Lord in our lives, possibly for a particular situation, or through prayer and study of scripture. Once again, these things are all key. That none of what I'm going to say today is going to probably blow you away. You probably all know most of this stuff, but I think it's important to be reminded of it in the season that we're in as a church. Another thing that happens when we fast, I've noticed this from personal experience, is that we have the opportunity to deal with our own sin. In addition to being a positive thing, as we declutter and as we listen to God's voice, as we're in scripture, as we're praying and all those things, it also has the negative effect in a way of revealing our true nature and our true heart. Because just as an example, when you're fasting food, you may notice that you have a less patience, that you become angry more easily. And you can immediately, because you're fasting and because you're in that mindset, you can immediately direct that to God, turn to him for help in dealing with issues like this. Because the issues that come up are not just issues when they're fasting. They're issues all the time. But they might be kind of a spotlight shone on a particular area of your life, like anger, patience, or something like that, where you're like, God, I need your help with this. God, I need you to give me more patience. I need you to give me less anger. I need you to help me in this way, because I don't want to be sinning in my heart. So this helps us, because when we go back to our, quote, normal lives, when we go back to eating or doing whatever we were doing before, we'll notice the difference. We'll notice the change. We'll notice that because God has granted me this opportunity to deal with my own sin, this anger or patience or whatever it happens to be, could be in any number of things, that it has an amazing effect on our, quote, normal lives when we engage back into a normal routine kind of deal. Another thing that happens when we are fasting is we become more kingdom focused. I talked about this already. Our spiritual eyes and senses are heightened, and we notice things in our everyday lives that normally maybe we would just simply bypass or dismiss. It's almost like when you're fasting, God puts on some spiritual glasses for you. Really, we wear spiritual glasses all the time as we have the Holy Spirit inside us. But especially when we're fasting for a specific purpose, God allows us to put on these glasses that see all the need around us, that opens our eyes to what He's doing, that allows us to see the kingdom of God as it is in terrace around us. We see more need. We see, and our heart longs for God to move and to basically inaugurate His kingdom, do His will in terrace. Our heart longs for that naturally because we see it. We took the time to see it. So many times we can just, like, I just want to avoid. That's the thing that about fasting is, I just want to avoid the autopilot. When we're on autopilot in our lives, when we're just doing our normal routine, sometimes we have to do something to step out of that, because a normal routine makes us pick up a lot of bad habits along the way. Ignoring God, not listening to His voice, ignoring the daily disciplines of reading Scripture, being saturated in it, being memorized in it, in loving the Word, and just being there. At the end of the day, like I said, fasting is about being a people that are desperate for God. So I'll ask you this morning, are you desperate for God? In your heart, in your life, if I ask you that question, I'm asking it to you, every single one of you. Are you desperate for God? If you say yes, that's good. We are to be people that are desperate for God. And sometimes we need to fast. We need to be called to a fast just because, to switch things up in our lives. To take that time to dedicate it to Him. To say, God, I need you so much. God, I need you in this situation. I need you. That's one of the things that fasting has done for me, is it just gives you such clarity, such focus. When I'm fasting, I'm so engrossed in the Word that it's becoming a part of me. It's becoming who I am. It's getting into me. And it's having fruit. I can feel it because I know it, because when I'm fasting, I'm like, God, I need you. I need you so much. God, I'm desperate for you. God, I need you because I need to be a better husband to Ashley. God, I need you because I need to be a better father to Titus and Maximus. God, I need you because I need to be a better pastor. God, I need you because I need to love people more. God, I need you because I want my heart to break for the lost. God, I need you. In any number of situations, what fasting ultimately does is it aligns our hearts, I believe, with the heart of God. And sometimes we can't even realize that we've gone off course until we do something like that. And then we just find the Word so alive, and maybe we've been kind of slacking off in our devotions and whatever, and being in the Word, and we go back, and it's like the joy of our salvation returns. We experience the joy that comes by hearing and faith and by the Word of God that Scripture tells us about. Also, when we're fasting, when empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is awesome. When empowered by the Holy Spirit, friends, we have the opportunity to do things that we wouldn't normally be able to do in the physical with much prayer and fasting. The example here would be that story of the unclean spirit. It's in Matthew and in Mark, where this boy has unclean spirit and he's basically like throwing himself into a fire and self-harming himself and all this stuff. And the disciples are having trouble casting the unclean spirit out of him. And Jesus basically says that it is important with this kind of spirit to pray and to fast because it brings faith. So literally, friends, this is why fasting is so awesome. One of the reasons, is because we get to be a part of this. We get to literally do things that are not possible. We get to do the impossible by the Spirit working in our lives. We can see people healed. We can see people change. We can see any number of things happened that we would never think of when we are fasting. An important verse for fasting is Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. And it says this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. It says, "Then the disciples of John came to him saying, to Jesus, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast.'" What Jesus is saying in this passage is that fasting isn't that important right now. The Pharisees, they're saying, the disciples of John saying, "We fast. The Pharisees are fasting. Why don't your disciples fast?" And Jesus essentially says to them, "I'm with them. The point of fasting is to get closer to me, is to declare desperation for me, is to express your need for me." And he says in this passage, "I'm with you right now. I'm literally with you. But there is coming a time when I will not be physically with you, and then you will fast." This is why it's important to fast. Because we need Jesus. Jesus is here, friends. But he's not physically with us. And so we get this opportunity to fast, to abstain from food, to set aside a time where we can fast and pray and allow God to move and allow our desperation for him to saturate our lives and to refocus, recalibrate upon him. Another text about fasting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. This is kind of a negative, how not to fast. 6, verse 16 to 18 in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, "And when you fast," which, again, this is Jesus talking, so he's assuming that Christians are going to fast. He's not saying, "If you fast," he's saying, "When you fast," which, again, tells us about the importance of fasting. "When you fast, do not look gloomy like hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, for they can be seen that they're fasting by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, and that your Father who is in secret, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is in secret will reward you." So when you fast, you know, sometimes it's kind of funny because when you're fasting, when you're on like an extended fast and you're pretty into it, sometimes we can have a tendency to have a pity party. So you might think now, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to make myself look unkempt so that, you know, people will notice that something's amiss with me, that I'm more spiritual and I'm fasting. You might think that, but by day 5 or day 6, you're starting to want food and you're going, "Man, I'm spiritual," or whatever. You know, you might get there. You might surprise yourself. And so we're told, go about your business like normal. Wash your face. Cut your hair. Pastor Lowe might say, shave your beard. Blake. Come on, get rid of the beard. Playoffs are over now. For the Canucks, anyway. The only team that matters. So, it's important that when we fast, that we do it not to be seen. No one should know that we're fasting. It's a secret between us and God. But He's smiling. It's pleasing Him. He has an opportunity to connect with us in a way that maybe He hasn't, because we're not listening in a long time. And so the reward is that our Father is proud of us, that we get to be closer to Him, that He's speaking to our hearts. I spoke about the fact that fasting points us to be more kingdom mindset. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, I love these verses. This to me is like such an amazing picture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, it says, Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. I think this is talking about, friends, the joy of our salvation. Sometimes that can get lost. Sometimes that can get obscured. And I'm here to tell you today that in part at least, fasting can help uncover that once again. Because when you originally get saved, when you originally come to Jesus and find that He is the supreme treasure, you have that attitude. I don't care. I'll sell all I have. I'll go to Africa. I'll do whatever You want me to do, Lord. But again, when we're on autopilot, we can get hardened. We cannot listen to God. Any number of things can happen in our lives. Verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, friends, when we see the kingdom of God, when we see Jesus as supremely valuable, we'll do whatever we can to get close to Him. And we'll get rid of all the stuff that is distracting us. We'll get rid of all the stuff that is in the way of closeness, intimacy with Jesus. And fasting can be an incredible help with that. And so I would commend fasting to you this morning. In this season that the church is in, we need to do it. Because we need to be a people that are desperate for God. Amen? We need to be a people that are desperate for God. Because if we're not desperate for God, friends, we're in the most dangerous place that we can possibly be. That autopilot, that safe zone, that's danger. That's the devil's playground. That feeling of comfortableness with where we're at. We can never be comfortable with where we're at. When it comes to Christ, we always need to be pursuing Him more, loving Him more, being more passionate about the Word, more alive in Christ. And fasting can do that. I'm almost done here. I know we're going to lead into communion, which is an awesome segue from this message, partaking of the body of Christ. So I would have you, please, with the Holy Spirit's direction, take me seriously this morning. You don't have to take the beard seriously, but take me seriously. And consider fasting. Take it to the Lord upon the unction of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and ask the Lord, God, do I need to do a fast? And again, there's lots of fasts. You can do immediate fast, and that can be profitable for you. I would commend you a normal fast. Deny your body food. It's the toughest, but the most rewarding. Next to the absolute fast, which again, don't recommend that. So ask yourself, going through puberty again. Ask yourself, Lord, do I need to fast? Am I desperate? Am I as desperate for you as I need to be? Because if I'm not, then I need to fast. The answer is clear. I need to have a desperation for you in my life. John Piper says this, and I'll close with this and invite the band up to come as we lead into communion. John Piper says, the supremacy of God in all things is the great reward we long for in fasting. His supremacy in our own affections and in all of our life choices. His supremacy in the purity of our church. His supremacy in the salvation of the lost. And His supremacy in the establishing of righteousness and justice. And His supremacy for the joy of all the peoples. In the evangelization of the world. Again, when we fast, when we pray, our hearts are aligned with Jesus. And friends, my prayer for you this morning, I hope you've experienced some of my heart for you as an assembly, for us. My heart is that you'd have the heart of Jesus. That's the most important thing for each and every one of us, for our lives, for the direction this church is going to go, is that we're desperate for God and we have an insatiable hunger for Jesus. We're desperate for Him. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that you would, as you have through this word, I believe, spoken to us, I pray that we would be in tune with your Holy Spirit right now. And I pray that if we are being called individually or corporately to a time of fasting in our individual lives, that you would affirm that right now. Because I know that fasting is amazing. It's hard, but it'd be awesome months from now that we could have a testimony time and we just go around the room and share about what the Lord revealed to us on our fast because we took that time. So God, I pray that you'd speak by your Spirit through this time of communion, Lord, and your body is the most important thing to us, your body broken and shed for us. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. I pray that we would just be encouraged. We'd be encouraged by the word. We'd be encouraged that you're holding this church. You got this. You're not surprised by any of it. But that we would be encouraged to fast because we need to be with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.